Today's date is Saturday, June 22nd, 2024. Graham and I are sitting out on our deck in somewhat of a muggy afternoon to answer some more of our grandchildren's questions. The question today comes from O'Malley, and O'Malley wanted to know, what did Graham and I do as children for exercise? What did we do when we came home from school? Those kinds of things, period. And the answer, is, first of all, we didn't have any of the technology that you do. We did not have cell phones. We did not have, it wasn't until later on that we even got TVs. Our phones were party line phones, where five or six houses in an area were shared the same line, phone line. So when somebody called, your phone rang, and when you picked up, you had to make sure it was for you and not one of the five other people. And if it was for one of the five other people, you just usually said, excuse me, and hung up. Unless, of course, it was some neighbors doing some juicy gossiping that you wanted to listen in on, in which case you had to be quiet as a mouse or they could hear you. So we did not have any of the technology that you have available to you today. And so we were outside almost all the free time we had, and we were playing with usually neighbors. Now, it was different for Grandma than it was for me, because Grandma lived in a suburb of Detroit, and there was a lot of children around her. In fact, some of them that she grew up with, and you'll hear in her stories here in a minute, she still is in occasionally contact with all these years later. I, on the other hand, was a country kid. I didn't have anybody next door to me. The closest friend I had was probably 3/4 of a mile away from me if I took a shortcut, which went through our property down to the creek that ran through the back of our property, across the creek, up through a big field that had horses in it. And one horse was mean, and I used to have to check to make sure that I couldn't see him, because sometimes he'd come at me from an angle that I hadn't seen, and he'd end up chasing me. And sometimes I'd get to the fence just in time to dive through the barbed wire, and he would have to pull up. But that would then get me up. I was still probably another quarter, half a mile away from a playground. There was a school that we had. So with that background, I'm going to ask Karen to start. We started on this a few days ago. Do you remember we were talking about what did we do when we got home from school? Because all we really had were radios in the house then. Is that correct with you?
In the beginning, yes. In my case, there was a lot of children in the neighborhood, so we played a lot of made-up games. We played baseball in the street.
That was called stickball, right?
No, baseball in the street, I think, yeah.
Okay.
Some of the other games were, which you're probably familiar with, is hopscotch and jump rope. There's another game we made up. We'd sit on the stairs of the porch, and somebody would find a stone, and you'd have to guess what hand the stone was in. And if you guess what hand the stone was in, you got to go up one stair. and whoever got to the top won. So these were just little made-up games. I'm trying to think some other ones. We had quite an imagination. We had to, because there was no board games or any of that kind of stuff when I was growing up. We had to make everything up. So we had, we'd make little forts in the field, and we'd make mud pies, and we'd use our different cups and saucers and all that that we had from play sets, and we'd make meals there, and we'd lay down and pretend we were taking a nap there. We'd go in the fields and try to collect different things. We'd pick wildflowers and bring them home. More natural things rather than artificial things, because like Papa said, we didn't have telephones or computer games or computers, or we did have TV, but we were only allowed to watch at certain times. And there wasn't a whole lot of children's shows on it like there are now. So it was mainly just making up games with our friends.
Now, as you grew older, you know, you got into middle school and high school, did the kind of games you played or what you did with your friends, give us a typical day. You walked to and from school, right?
Right. I walked, I got a dime a day to take the bus, but if anybody knows Grandma, I'm kind of a Scrooge. I wanted to save my dime, so I always walked to school and walked home. And sometimes by myself, sometimes with other friends.
How far was it from your house to school?
About a mile and a half.
And this was in Detroit. It was a big city. But you didn't have to worry back then, did you?
No, no. When you went outside to play, you didn't have to worry about strangers or anything. Like, everybody knew everybody. There weren't those kinds of things. Right now, it's the parents that let the children outside to play, and they have to watch them every second to make sure they're okay, they're not getting hurt, that nobody, stranger's not going to approach them. There was none of that. And I used to, at night, when I'd walk almost to St. Mary's, which was a school I went to, because a lot of my friends lived around there. And I'd walk home at night all by myself. You know, it was pitch black, and there was nothing to worry about. We just walked home.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine letting my children do that nowadays.
So, junior high, high school, what kind of, you changed from playing, making mud cakes and mud loaves of bread to what?
Oh, I don't know. They didn't have girls' sports when I was growing up, so I didn't have any sports activity to do as far as school went. There were no plays, there was Sodality, which was a Christian group, but there was no activities like that. I can't think of what did we do in a Catholic school? You guys played sports, but there was no sports for girls.
Yeah, in my situation, very similar to yours, even though I lived out in the country, first of all, I had a long way to go to get to where there were any other kids. And there was a school, a noble school. I went to a Catholic school all my life, but there was a public elementary school that was a little over a mile, maybe a mile and a quarter from my house, depending on how you walked to get to it. But that was where they had a softball diamond there, they had a baseball diamond, they had handball courts, and I was about 5 or 6 when I moved there. So when I was that young, my dad raised dogs and trained dogs to hunt. So when I got home as a young, I was home then more than I was in school. When I was 5 or 6, being in kindergarten or first grade, when I did go outside to play and no one around me, no neighbors or anything, I'd take my, we had 7 or 8 dogs at the time. Again, Dad was training dogs to hunt, German short hair pointers. But I had a big old setter named Duke, and he was my buddy. And I would come home from school and I would, or I'm sorry, not come home from school. When I went outside to play, whether it was after school or on weekends when I was in kindergarten, I was only in school half a day and my mother never worked. She was always home. I had a cork gun. It looked like a shotgun, but it shot corks, wine corks. And I would trim them down, and it was an air compression gun. And I would pump up my shotgun and put some corks in the barrels. And I'd grab Duke, and we'd be out in the woods and in the fields hunting. I'd let Duke hunt, and Duke would flush birds for me, and I'd shoot my corks at him. In the spring, we had a ditch, a deep ditch that ran most of that mile from our house up to the main road. And so in the spring, it was always filled with water. And I would go down to the ditch and I'd try to catch pollywogs. And when the pollywogs turned into frogs, I was trying to catch frogs and toads. And if I got a specially well decorated one, a lot of spots on it or bigger, I would put it in my pocket so I could take it home as a pet. And sometimes when I got home, I would forget that that frog or toad was still in my pocket, and I'd take my dirty clothes off and my mom would go to put them in the washer, and out would hop a toad and a frog. Or a lot of times I caught snakes, and I'd put them in my pockets. I always wanted pet snakes. Those are the kinds of things I did to amuse myself. It was usually me and Duke out in the woods or down in the ditch. And as I got older, one of our favorite games, well, two of them. One was dodgeball. I think you still play that today. We played that up against the side of the school building, and there was guys and girls playing together. And so we never held back on the girls. In fact, we usually would try to get them out of the game first. And then we played handball. It was an open three-walled court rather than an enclosed, but I played handball right up until I graduated from high school. That was a game I really liked. It helped my eye-hand coordination. Is there anything? You had sleepovers, didn't you, with your girlfriends?
Well, in high school, mainly high school, we had clubs. We called them sororities, like they did in college. They had some kind of a Greek name to all of them. And there was probably 3 or 4, maybe 3, in high school. And you were invited to join one of these clubs. And yes, we had parties, we had sleepovers. We used to go to Red Devil Pizzeria. And a lot of times all the clubs would get together and go there. Everybody liked to come to my house because we had a player piano, which means you put a sheet of what looks like musical notes, and then somebody pumped it and played it and played different songs, and we'd sing. And one of the guys played the piano, so he was fun. We just have snacks and sit around and talk, maybe dance to the music. We had a finished basement, so that was kind of nice. We, like Papa said, we played outside most of the time. We didn't play in the house very much at all. And when we did, it would be playing house or playing
school.
Yeah, school.
Doctor?
Yeah, sometimes doctor. We made up games anyway. Oh, another thing we used to do, we used to make hollyhock dolls. If you know what a hollyhock is, it's a flower that looks like petals. And if you set it down, it would look like a girl's skirt. So that would be the light-colored ones were the girls, and the dark-colored hollyhocks were the boys. And we used to drill a little hole with a hairpin or something at the top and take a bud and stick it in that hole, and that was the head of the hollyhock doll. And we used to have a stationary tub, tubs down in the basement, and we'd pretend that was the swimming pools, and we'd put the washboard in the middle, and then we'd play with when we used some bluing in the water that you use for like bleach at that time for laundry, and dyed the water blue and played hollyhock dolls. And then we had little ones, those were the kids, and we had a good time playing that. We also played clothespin dolls, and we used to make the clothes out of rags, and we'd put the clothes around them with rubber bands, and we'd have all different kinds of clothes for them, different fashions, just because we made it up ourselves. And we also used that stationary tub to swim in with all our clothespin dolls. We'd draw faces on the top of the clothespin, which was different. I don't think I've ever heard of anybody doing that since then. But we made up games like that.
When, as you got older, your groups, sometimes you got together with all girls, but a lot of times you had as many friends that were boys as girls, and you did things in a mixed group. Is that correct?
Yeah, we did. We had parties together. Mainly just eating and listening to music. We didn't really play any games or anything. Just talked. The guys talked about football games. The girls listened.
Back in your day in high school, being a cheerleader was a big deal, wasn't it?
Yeah, but those things required money, and our family didn't have a whole lot of money, so I didn't really get involved in anything that was gonna cost a lot of money. My dad worked on the railroad, and my mom didn't work other than babysitting for a doctor, so, you know, we didn't have extra money to do extracurricular stuff.
Do you remember what kind of a student were you? Did you like school?
I would say I was an average student. Did I love school? No, but I liked it.
The social part of it,
probably. Right, probably.
What do you remember? What was your favorite subject? Did you have one?
I don't know, I'd have to think about that one. Probably art, music.
Tell us about, well, I did too. You had to wear a uniform to school.
Right.
All the way from kindergarten through 12th grade, right?
Right.
Describe your uniform and what was the purpose of it?
I think the purpose of it was that we all looked the same. There was no competition as who had the prettiest clothes. I think that was making us all equal. Nobody said that. I'm just thinking that's why. I think our skirts were navy blue, and we wore white blouses.
You had to wear blazers, didn't you?
I don't think so, no.
No?
Just make sure white blouses.
But then, didn't you have long socks, like wool socks, or that you had to wear?
We didn't have to, but we wore knee socks with it.
Knee socks, that's right. Yeah. See, now, in my schooling, particularly in high school, where I was at an all-boys Catholic high school, we had to have a pair of shine shoes on every single day, dress pants, white shirt, tie, and a suit coat. And that was, we were preparing. At that time, more kids went to work after they graduated than went to school or college. So we had to be prepared to dress and compete in the adult world when we got out of high school. And I know, somewhat similar to what Mom said, our parents didn't have a lot of money. The extra money my parents had, they used to pay my tuition to go to that very expensive boys' school. And so I had a blazer. Now, you keep in mind, we were guys, and we would get in food fights in the cafeteria. We were always, well, in fights, but I couldn't afford more than the one blazer. And I remember my blazer, it had a pocket that you would like put your glasses in up on your chest. Well, that was ripped, not completely off, but mainly off. My pockets on the sides were almost ripped off, and every meal I ever ate was somewhere on the front of my, I mean, it was gross. And they would always tell me I had to change it, and because that was the school rules, and I would say, this is the only one I have. And I don't remember, maybe I just took all the pockets that were hanging loose, I just ripped them off, I don't remember. But I remember when I graduated from high school, I said I was never going to wear another tie again. And we had, my first 3 years, we had to walk to school. Our residence hall was a mile from school. And about a quarter to a half a mile up the road, there was a restaurant, a very popular restaurant. And we had, our school had 800 boys in it. And there was, at this restaurant, there were three public high schools within walking distance of that restaurant. And so usually when we went to school, when we walked to school in the morning, we'd walk in groups of four or five, because almost every morning when we got to that restaurant, there'd be public school kids out there, and they'd start hassling us about being minnow munchers and bead rattlers and wearing our fancy clothes to school and just generally making fun of us. Well, what they didn't know, a lot of the guys that were there were put, their only other choice was to go to a reform school. So this was a tough...
Like Papa.
Well, I sure got my share of fights, but it was was not unusual for us to walk into first class of the day with blood all over our pants, or and same thing. Now, I played sports after school, so by the time I went home, there weren't any. But I remember one time, I don't remember exactly, they beat up one of our border kids bad. They used brass knuckles on him and gave him a, he ended up having a hair lip. And so I don't remember how we did it, but we got word to these guys that we were coming down the road the next day and we were going to clean house as payback for him. And I want to say there were somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 kids in this big brawl. And we still talk about that fight to this day. We beat the snot out of those public school kids. And it made a, we went to school in Windsor, and the Windsor Star was the newspaper there. We made the headlines, front page headlines and that, and none of the priests were real happy about it. Of course, they knew about it by the time we got to school. And the cops, you know, when we heard the sirens coming, we started sprinting and scattered, and a lot of us were late because we were out in the boondocks hiding from the cops. But so that's probably a little different than today. Yeah, Grandma asked me to tell you about the sports I played in high school. My first 3 years in high school, I went to University of Detroit High School, which was an all-boys school in one of the fancier sections of Detroit. And I played football there. I left UB High School at the end of my, almost at the end of my junior year, and transferred to Assumption High School over in Windsor. And because I went from an American education to a Canadian education, they recommended that I take my junior year over again, which I did. And Assumption, or Canadian high schools, had a grade 13, which was required of any, if you wanted to go to college in Canada, you had to have a grade 13 education. So I wanted to be a teacher, and I in fact, I was going to stay in Canada, and because I had so many friends over there, but they didn't have reciprocity at that time with the American endorsement for teachers. So if I got my teaching degree in Canada, I wouldn't be able to teach in the United States. So I just went through grade 12, but I took grade 11 over again. And so when I got to Ontario, my two loves at that time were football, which Canada, or Canadian football, is a little different than American. It has 12 players on a side, not 11. And then I played hockey, and I was never good enough to make the team as a starter, but I was the first American to be on the team. I was our scrimmage goalie. So that was always an honor for me. Both of the goalies that were ahead of me on the team, I'm proud to say, went on to play. One played in the National Hockey League, and the other one played in the American Hockey League. So it wasn't like they were just chump change. Another activity that we did after, well, not only after school, but during the winter, it comprised almost all of our free time. From the time I was about 9 years old up until I was in my 20s, during the winter, when the weather got cold enough and froze our pond, not our pond, but a pond that we played hockey on, there'd be 20, 30 guys out there every evening and every Saturday and Sunday playing hockey, and have a lot of great memories out there in those hockey games.
Lost a lot of teeth.
What? Oh, yeah. Any other? How about when you were little? Did you go to a, like 5 or 6 years old? Did you go to a playground or anything nearby to play, or you still were playing in the street? Were you?
Yeah, I think we just played baseball on the street.
Okay.
Another thing, when we played baseball, they'd choose up teams. I was the youngest one on the block, so obviously I was the last one left, and they fought over who had to take me. Or they said, you can have Karen. No, that's all right, you can have Karen. Not only was I was the youngest one, I was probably the smallest one. Most of the kids were in their early teens, like maybe not, maybe 11, 12, 13, and boys and girls. And I remember feeling bad because everybody was trying to get rid of me.
Well, I remember once I hit high school age, a big thing for us on Friday and Saturday nights, at least for my guy friends, we would, and this was only when I got to come home for weekends from school, but then it was all summer long, we would go to Royal Oak, had a big street, still there today, and it was called Woodward Avenue, and there was three lanes going north, and then there was a strip of lawn, for lack of a better word, that ran for a couple of miles in the middle, and then there was three more lanes going the opposite direction. And so a couple of my buddies had some souped up cars, and we would spend Friday nights and Saturday nights usually too out on Woodward Avenue drag racing. And I can tell you all kinds of stories about some really good ones. Some of my favorite stories happened out there. But back then, Woodward Avenue had, I want to say it was a 2 mile stretch of nothing but car drive-ins. Not like today. Back then, they didn't have McDonald's. Well, they didn't have McDonald's, period. But they had these little mom-and-pop restaurants, drive-in restaurants, where you would pull into a parking spot up near the front of the restaurant, and there would be a radio. There'd be a post in the ground with a radio attached to it that allows you to talk to the people inside. And you would give them your order, and a few minutes later, they were called car hops. One of the car hop girls would come out, and they all had roller skates on. And so they'd roller skate your order up to your car. You'd roll your window down, if it wasn't already down, and they would put a big tray in the window sill, and then put your order on top of it. And that's how guys would, they try to find empty spots beside a carload of girls and just start the conversations going. But we would go from drive-in restaurant to drive-in restaurant to drive-in restaurant up and down Woodward Avenue for probably 4 hours every Friday, Saturday night, just meeting different, not only girls, but guys. And to this day in Detroit, they now have, it's called the Woodward Dream Cruise, Woodward Avenue Dream Cruise. that commemorates that period of time that you cruised up and down Woodward Avenue, hitting all the drive-ins. And it's a brings 100,000, 150,000 people every year. I think it's in July in Detroit. And they still cruise the same areas that we did. Well, O'Malley, those are some of the things that Grandma and I used to do when we were growing up in an age where we didn't have all of the technology that you have today. And I hope you find them interesting. And if you have any more questions about it, I'd be more than happy to answer them. So thanks for bringing back a lot of fond memories with your questions, O'Malley. And as always, we love you all.